Blog Talk Radio.
Music, please.
It was taking you.
Squad. Ha ha. Turn me up a little bit.
Yo, turn radio.
Ha ha. What you know about it? What you know about it? I said it. Hip-hop, the hip-hop, the hip-hop, the hip-hop, the hip-hop, and you don't stop. I rock on, baby, bubba to the boogie, the bang, bang, the boogie to the boogie,
the biggie, the biggie, the bee.
Yeah, you hey. Cry for the music, and then you don't know when to shut it up, I tell you.
What up?
Oh, anyway. I'm sorry, I said it out loud.
Yes, you did. Anyway, hello, everyone. We are back from hiatus. And this is WTF with Joe D and the lovely and talented Miss Kenicha Jordan. What's going on tonight, partner?
Man, we're back in school. And so it's kicking my fanny.
Really? Yes, did you say fanny?
Yes, it's kicking my fanny.
The 60s called and they want their vernacular back.
I don't care. It's kicking my fanny.
Whatever.
It really is. Because it's like, now I've gone from a late school that started at 9:15 to a school that starts at 7:15. So that means I have to drag my whatever color you like to call me behind out of bed at like 4:45 in the morning so I can get my kids to daycare right at 6 when they open and then hightail it and be to work by 6:15, 6:20. So, yeah, it's kicking my fanny.
Those are the breaks. I guess you get off early, though.
Well, yeah, I get off at like 2:45, but still, it's kicking my fanny.
Anyway, we got a great show for y'all tonight, even though Kenicha's fanny is getting kicked, as she says.
Whatever.
We have Clever Black back with us to talk about his latest. Everybody knows Clever, he of the Holland Family series, that's all people talk about, you know what I mean? But he's got other stuff going on, and he's going to tell us about that. And we also have Lady Crush herself, Ivy Simone, the book, or the two books that everybody seems to be talking about on every online book club there is, Crush, Crush 2. So that should be very interesting. They're going to also join us for the main hot topic tonight, which is, and you know we had to come with something juicy because we had Clever and Ivy on tonight. Can you be someone's secret without catching feelings? I'm interested to hear the responses to that. I'm just saying, secret, whew. Without catching feelings, seems like to me, anytime you're smashing, somebody always catching feelings. But anyway, we'll leave that up to later. Before we get to all that, we got something that we like to call the spin cycle topic. So, KJ, spin the wheel.
Hey.
Wow, what okay. The hell?
That's Windows 10 for you. I tell you, man. I tell you, no, I upgraded, and I tell you, I'm thinking I probably should have waited for the reviews.
I told you, I was trying to jump on something.
I wanted to have the newest and latest thing, and I got the newest and latest thing, and I can't revert back to 8 at this point. So, you know. But at any rate, so I'm sure everybody knows about the Virginia shooter and the fact that he did actually die from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. And apparently his name was Vester Flanagan II. And
I'm just
what's
saying.
Funny about that?
It's not funny what he did, but that name is funny. But anyway, go ahead.
Vester Flanagan?
Yeah. Yeah. Vester.
Well,
sounds like a made-up
apparently,
name.
Apparently. Well, yeah, I could see that. But apparently he was a disgruntled employee who was hired and then fired and then hired and then fired again by a news station. And they said that he was – they terminated him because he kept – they said it was like he was looking for a fight. They said it got to the point where he was very difficult to work with, and it was like he would sit there kind of like, you know, listen to somebody talk and, like, say, for instance, you said something about, oh, yeah, you know, well, you know, my socks are black. What, did you say I'm black? Is it because I'm black? You know, they said it was just like a situation like that where he was just very confrontational, and so they ended up letting him go, and that he filed a lawsuit with the EEOC trying to sue for $15,000 in damages, and that was dismissed. So,
wait a minute, hold up, back up. You tried to sue for $15,000, not $15 million, $15,000?
$15,000 in damages. And he apparently sent a 23-page fax to ABC News 2 hours after the shooting. Yeah. Where he supposedly listed his grievances that led up to the shooting. And he was talking about, you know, he was tired of being racially discriminated against and that, you know, he was gay and that he had experienced sexual harassment and bullying at work because of his homosexuality. And but he actually said, I have every right to be angry, but when I leave this earth, the only emotion I want to feel is peace. I know, right? You just took the lives of two people and, you know, and then, but they said the final thing that really got everybody was that he actually left a message for Dylan Roof, you know, the Charleston shooter. And said that he said, as for Dylan Roof, you blank, or they delete that word, you blank, you want a race war blank, bring it then, you white blank. The writer of the, that's what he says, the church shooting was a tipping point, but my anger has been building steadily. I've been a human powder keg for a while just waiting to go boom.
So, let me, okay, as unpopular as it might be. It seems to me, okay, this guy did a heinous act. He shot and killed two, quote-unquote, innocent people. And quote, they're doing everything in their power to vilify him and make him out to be some crazy person, which, you know, I'm sure he had a touch of insanity about him. But
a
it
touch?
Seems to me they're glossing over what he said. Two wrongs don't make a right, and I don't justify his actions, but I don't see how you can just gloss over what he's saying either, the reason why he did what he did. It seems to me every time one of you know, people that say Black Lives Matter, when black people get killed, they're innocent too. And I don't see the gunmen ever get vilified, or the police officers who kill black folks, I don't ever see them get vilified in the media or be, you know what I mean? It's like it's something that just happens and they report it and then they go on to the next story. But they're going out of their way to vilify this guy as if what he said, that's just the ramblings of some insane monster. Nah, he was serious about what he said. You know, y'all wanted a race war, and I'm bringing it. I think we should look deeper into that. He meant what he said. Do I condone him killing two innocent people? That is ridiculous. No. But what have I been saying for the longest? Y'all going to keep killing people. What have I been saying? I said, y'all going to keep killing people, and sooner or later somebody's going to have enough, and they're going to start taking stuff in their own hands. I've been saying this for months. I've been saying it for months, and it's going to keep happening because there's inequality in this country. you know, this dude says he was gay, he was black, he, you know, he was discriminated against both ways. And he was tired of it. He will, trust me, he won't be the last. I can just see it. This country, there has to be a shift in things. Things have to change because there are going to be more people like this guy who's had enough. You're not going to keep killing our folks and nobody from the other side gets killed either. It's just not going to happen like that. So when y'all and everybody, you know, dog this guy out and, you know, and the innocent victims, you know, we pray over them and for them and for their family. Don't forget all the other black lives that went on and got killed for no apparent reason either, that gets just washed over. That's the part. That's the problem I have. They'll take this story, and this story will be ran for weeks. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But when one of us die, it's a story for a day, if that, for a couple of hours, and then it's on to the next. So maybe he did what he did, knowing what it was going to do.
Gotcha.
He killed somebody on air. I mean, they were on air, weren't they? Like, I haven't seen the video or anything. I heard about it. I did some research before we came on air and went on the internet to see if I could find out some things. But apparently they were on air when he killed
them. Yeah, you know, I found out, honestly, because my husband told me when I got home from work today. So it was like, did you hear? You know, he was like, did you hear? And I was like, what are you talking about, you know? I've been locked in the classroom all day with 12th graders. And so, you know, he was talking about it and pulled it up on his phone and showed it to me. And I was like, oh, my gosh, it's terrible. So that's how I found out about it. In all honesty, I had no clue.
And I honestly found out about it because you said something to me about it. I don't really watch the news anymore because, to me, it's just a bunch of racist stuff, so I don't even watch it anymore. But I had no clue about what happened in Virginia or whatever. But when I did find out about it, I did try to do some research about it. And as heinous an act as this was and as cowardly as it was, because I don't condone anybody killing any innocent people. I mean, come on, just to make a name for yourself or whatever. Or whatever grievances that you had with your boss. You know what I'm saying? Like, the people that you killed, they didn't have anything to do with it.
Right.
But I can see it coming. You know what I mean? I can see it coming. And I can see it continuing. I can see retaliation on the other side, and I can see retaliation on again. Because unless some things change, things have to change in this country. Like, race relations, although they've gotten better, they seem to be getting worse as far as the extremists. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's going to keep happening. And that runs into my topic, my spin cycle topic, which is Donald Trump just got, that's, you know, of the GOP. That's the highest. You know, nobody has gotten over 30% in a while now. He's gotten to 40.
I know. Looks like this nut's going to actually make it to run.
So, and here's my thing about that. Remember, Donald Trump tried to run for the presidency years ago, and nobody ever took him seriously. And this is when he was younger. You know, when he had relevancy, when his businesses were doing great, and nobody took him seriously. So why is all of a sudden they taking this crazy-ass old man seriously now? I don't get it.
I think
really
the racial climate in the country has changed, and so now his racist rantings and ravings actually have an audience at this point.
Yeah.
You know, he makes disparaging comments about Hispanics, and I think what he is saying, he's just saying what other people are afraid to say. And so they champion that, and they look at Donald Trump as, yeah, man, he just said that he just pulled the cloth off the elephant in the room. Yeah, that's what I wanted to say about Josue or
but
whoever,
you know who's endorsing him right now?
Who?
David Duke.
that says a lot.
David Duke is endorsing Donald Trump. That's all you need to know.
Mm-hmm. That's the Klan right there. That's old-time
exactly.
Klan money right there.
Exactly. That's who he endorses. That's all you need to know. This country,
like I said,
that's
old-time
Klan.
I feel two ways
about it. I kind of feel like the GOP would be idiots to have Donald Trump as their candidate because he couldn't win. You know what I mean? Like, I know he has all this groundswell of support right now, but when it's all said and done, do you really think the American people will elect him president?
I don't know, because the American people have done some things that really shock me.
Yeah, but I wonder. So I kind of want him to win their candidacy because I feel like it'd be a slam dunk. For the Democrat. But then again, like you said, sometimes you get shot by the American people. But
I
pay attention to conservative talk radio as well. And there are a lot of people that don't, in the conservative world, that don't want Donald Trump as their candidate.
Because they don't feel like he can win.
Yeah, they don't feel like
he can win. I'm looking to Canada for citizenship, so.
Really?
Yes.
Well, the last time I looked, you don't speak Spanish, so you might be all right. He seems to have a vendetta against Latinos for some reason. I'm not sure about that, but, like, where's this vendetta coming from?
I don't know. Maybe he lost his ex-wife for her boinking the gardener. I don't know.
Yeah, I was about to say, was Ivanka, you know, boinking the... So whoever.
Oh, really? You pick on me about my vernacular, and here you go with boinking? Okay.
Yeah, really? Whatever.
Yeah. All right.
So what's
and
your
then
third
my,
one?
All right. My next one deals with, you know, I'm wondering if the GoFundMe accounts are just kind of getting out of control here. Because they were saying how now people are setting up GoFundMe accounts to get people to help them pay for college.
What's wrong with that?
I don't know. Huh?
What's wrong with that?
Here's my problem
with people that have problems with people with GoFundMe. What is GoFundMe for? What does GoFundMe stand for? GoFundMe, which means you have the right to put up any kind of thing that you need money for on this website. It's GoFundMe. Like I don't get why people have a problem with people with GoFundMe accounts. You don't have to fund anybody.
That's true.
What's the difference between a GoFundMe account and a bum on the corner asking you for your loose change or a dollar? What's the difference? Like, either you're going to give them the dollar or you're not. You know what I'm saying? You're like, I mean, I'm just saying, you don't have to feel some type of way because they asked you. So I don't have a problem with people having a GoFundMe account on anything. Like, I've seen people with GoFundMe accounts on the most idiotic things that I would think would be idiotic. But so what? Is that right? I mean, if somebody wants to help them, then hey. You know? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I don't see anything wrong with someone trying to go to college and they have a GoFundMe account. I just don't.
Well, I tell you what. I need a new car. If I start a GoFundMe account, will you donate?
No, I'm not donating to anybody. I was just saying. But I defend your right to have one. I mean, you can have a GoFundMe account because I'm thinking about, you know, hey, let's start a GoFundMe account for some of these movies that we want to make from our book. What's wrong with that?
Okay.
You know?
But I'm just saying, I want a new car.
Okay, well, if you want a new car, then you put up your GoFundMe account and see how much money you're able to raise.
I want you to donate because you say it's not a problem.
No, it's not a problem. I didn't say I was going to donate, but I would defend your right to have a GoFundMe account.
Mm-hmm. See, you won't put your money where your mouth is.
No, it has nothing to do with it. See, I would never take anybody's right away to ask for something. You know what I'm saying? That's all they're doing is asking. you have the right to say no, which most people will do, you know.
Yeah,
some people will say
I
yes.
guess I see your point. Yeah,
I mean,
I guess I see your
yes.
point.
And we're talking
yeah,
about
yeah,
college.
Yeah.
We're talking about education.
Well,
it's
not the thing that he's asking about. Shut up. It's not the thing that he's asking for college. I'm just saying, in general, it seems like, you know, GoFundMe accounts are starting to get out of control.
But why are they getting out of control? Like, okay, let me ask you this before we have to the break. Let me ask you this.
I was great, yeah, move you along. Uh-huh.
What GoFundMe account, like what would be reasonable in your mind to have a GoFundMe account?
I can see a GoFundMe account for, like, a back-to-school campaign. I want to help children. I want to make sure they have school supplies. So, therefore, I'm starting a GoFundMe account so that I can get, you know, help from the community at large to help me help these children. I can see that, you know, as a suitable thing for GoFundMe. It's not necessarily something you want to take the money out your pocket to do, but you still have that desire in your heart to help. I can
okay,
see
so
that.
What's wrong? So you can see that, but you can't see somebody asking you for some money to go to college?
No.
What's the difference?
Shit, I'm paying. Oh, I'm sorry.
Really?
I'm paying, I'm paying my student loans back, too. Sorry.
You know, that's because you weren't smart enough to have a GoFundMe account.
Oh, no, you didn't say smart enough, you asshole.
Exactly.
They didn't have them. They didn't have them.
Well, there you go. So,
that's
so okay,
new,
let me ask
that's
you
like
this.
A recent
so,
thing.
When you were in college, if they had a GoFundMe account, would you have done it?
No,
what's
because I am.
What's
like,
the difference between
unlike,
a loan,
unlike,
a grant?
Unlike TLC, I am too proud to beg, okay?
Whatever. Did you ever apply for any grants? When you were in school?
Nope.
Okay. Well, you got me on that.
I didn't.
One, I was gonna come...
Nope.
I said, okay,
I'd never applied for grants.
I was going to come down on you if you had applied for grants or something because there's no difference.
Nope. Because as an educator's child, isn't that something? As an educator's child, I didn't qualify for grants, and we knew that up front, so we didn't even try to apply for anything. So we just did straight student loans. So,
that's
but anyway.
It's interesting to me how, as an educator's child, you're not a qualify for grants. And
who are you
educators
telling?
In North, let me finish. Educators in North Carolina don't make much, but they won't let.
I know,
they,
right?
But they won't let you qualify for grants. That's ridiculous.
Tell
anyway.
Me about it. But anyway, here we go. So we'll be right back after a word from our sponsor.
Yeah. Looking for a good read? Try reading Sugarland by our own Jody Sanders. Meet Sugar, a mysterious and vengeful woman originally from a small town in Georgia, as she returns to the Carolinas to deal with her shameful and disturbing history with a group of three very flawed friends. Also by our own Kenitra Jordan, Eternal Bloom. Raised to honor her vows, Ayanna Adams soon learns the truth about her husband and still has to try to find a way to get herself and her children out alive. You can pick up these two titles at Amazon.com for your Kindle or Barnes & Noble for your Nook. Thank you for your support.
WTF with Kenitra and Joe D is brought to you by Joe Ken Publications, where integrity and creativity go right together. Please continue to follow with us as we go through the course of 2015. Be sure you pick up our newest release, Washing His Blood by Kenitra Jordan, on Amazon.com for your Kindle. And keep your eyes peeled because Sugar is returning to your Kindle soon and sugar-free. Before 2015 is out, you will know who Joe Ken Publication is. Stay tuned.
Yeah, we're just waiting on Sugar Free now. I'm just waiting for Sugar to show back up, and at the rate we're going, Sugar is going to be on my doorstep for Halloween, huh?
Whatever. That's a new commercial. That was a new commercial.
Not.
I haven't heard that one before.
You just don't pay any attention.
Whatever.
But at any rate, we have
Sugar Free will be out soon.
Yeah. Okay. Uh-huh. And if I wait for you for a sugar fix, I will be sugar-free. So, we have Ivy Simone, and we have Clever Black. Ivy Simone, the author of Crush, and Crush 2, and then Clever
what
Black.
What happened? Hold up. What happened to the door and the doorbell?
I'm getting ready to do it. If you would stop. I swear. This is what happens when you work with, you know, crazy people. And then we have Clever Black, who is also known as the fake administrator in Just Read Book Club.
I'm sure he's going to be happy you said that. Come
hello,
on in.
Hello, Clever Black, and hello, Ivy.
Hey, what's going on? How y'all doing?
Good.
And
did
Ivy Simone.
Did you like
Simone?
That introduction?
Hi.
Yeah, Ivy runs the night. We're sorry, we ran a little over on the spin cycle topic. You know, Panisha
that was
can't
his
shut
fault.
Up.
No, whatever. That was his fault.
Whatever.
Okay.
So start him off with the questioning, KJ.
Okay. All right. Miss Ivy Simone, let me ask you the questions that people are seeming to want to know. Is it true you wrote Crush in 7 days?
Yes. I did.
How in the world did you do that in 7 days?
I just did it. It came to me and it just flowed and that was it.
Wow. So was it like you just kind of went to sleep, got up, wrote, go to sleep, get up, wrote? I mean, you know, just
yes.
constantly
it was
like that?
Yeah, it was constantly, yeah. I needed to get it out. It was just bothering me, and I needed to get it out. So, yeah.
Gotcha.
Right. Well, apparently a lot of folks enjoy you getting that out in 7 days because it's like the number one book people are talking about right now.
Yeah.
I've downloaded it. I haven't had a chance to read it yet. Just give me a little something, a little snippet. What is the first one about? Because, like, I keep hearing Crush is off the chain, but I hear Crush 2 is even better. So give me a little snippet. Like, what's it about?
The main chick, which is Jasmine, she's the side chick to one of her friends. Actually, her sister's best friend's husband.
Okay.
And she just had a baby by him.
Wow.
But the main male character, which is Jaw, he comes into the picture, and to kind of help his friend out, he pretends like the baby's his, and he signed the birth certificate and everything. And so the book basically is Jaw and Jasmine having this like little relationship. That kind of, well, Jaw has always had a crush on her, but she's had a crush on Sean, the guy that she is the side chick to or whatever. And you just see their relationship growing or whatever. And a lot of people, the baby, throughout the book, everybody says that the baby looks like Jaw. So a lot of people were wondering, is Jaw the father? Is Jaw the father? The real father, you know? And so some things are revealed. In the first one, as well as in the second one. The second one, a lot of the secrets come out. So I guess that's why people say that one is even better.
Okay. Wow, that sounds like a lot of drama. A lot of drama.
Yes. Now, Clever, what do you have going on right now? Because you have a series that is wildly popular as well. So what do you have out right now, and what are you working on?
My latest release was out. Part 9 to the Highland Family Saga, titled Collision Course. You know, and that ongoing story, you know, it's constantly evolving. And what I'm working on now is the finale to this other series I got called Outlaw Chicks. I'm working on the third part to that, that had that out at the end of this year.
Now, tell me something, Clever, because now you just said something interesting. So you said you're working on the third and final installment in Outlaw Chicks, right?
Right.
How did you know to end it with the third book, but yet Holland Family is on the ninth one?
Well, that was like part of the contract with Wright House. I mean, I could have went on with it, you know, but it ties into the Holland Family Saga. And going in, I kind of had just three parts in mind for that story. And sometimes, you know, like with that particular story, I knew it wasn't going to go on as long as the Holler Family Saga because you got the same characters over and over okay. again. So eventually that kind of wears out, you know. So I was going to shorten that one anyway.
Okay.
Gotcha.
So Outlaw Chicks is a spinoff from Holler Family.
I wouldn't say a spinoff, but more like a tie-in.
Okay, tie-in. Okay.
The characters that's in Outlaw Chicks don't come into the Holler Family Saga until like part eight. At the end of part eight.
Okay.
But you get the backstory to them in parts one and two.
That's brilliant how you laid that in there like that. Mm-hmm. That is really neat.
Clever, let me ask you this. How are you able, because, you know, a lot of people, okay, we hear readers always talk about people extending series far too long, and I want to know, how are you able to get nine parts out of the Holland Family series, and people are still waiting on you to drop 10. Like, they can't get enough of it.
Yeah.
So how is it that you're able to keep a series going that people still love? Tell us that.
What worked for me is, you know, a constantly evolving storyline.
Okay.
You know, and it's at least three or four dozen characters. So some characters be in one book and you might not see them until two books later. But I catch you up on what they're doing. And then, you know, the story might center around them and a few other characters. And also the characters, they grow and they evolve. Like, there's one particular character that was a gangbanger in book five. I mean, she was rough and tumble. But by the end of part seven, as the family get deep into the business, she went the other way, you know what I'm saying? And they really could have used her for the family business, but, you know, she's not the same person that she was when she was younger. But she still has a story herself. So, you know, what works for me is constantly evolving the story and the character.
Wow. I like that. I really do. Because, you know, and then that's the other thing. You know, people always complain about how books have too many characters in it. But like you just said, you know, you've got all these characters, but the public is invested in your characters. And they really love your characters and look forward to seeing what they're up to next or when they're going to pop up next. So that's awesome.
There's no side characters in there. Everybody has a significant role. So when you see that particular character, being that the series has been so long, when they see a particular character, they pick up on their story and be like, okay, well, you know, where they're going next, because they already know what they're doing. So you have to spread it out, spend time with the characters so the readers can get to know them. Don't just mention them, you know, have them do things, give them personality.
So would you
Ivy, I got a question for you, Ivy. I keep hearing people asking for Crush 3. Is there a Crush 3 on the horizon?
Yes, it is. It's one coming. It will be the final, too.
That's how I was just here to ask.
So you're making it a trilogy?
Yes.
And after Crush 3, what are you going to have coming down the pipe?
I got some things that I'm working on that I think a lot of my readers will be surprised to see coming. But I'm not
do you
gonna,
want to stay in the same? Do you want to stay in the same genre, or do you feel like you can jump around, or do you, you know, you want to pretty much stay in the drama genre?
Right now, yes. Later, not too much later, but I am going to dabble in other genres.
Okay.
Any particular genre you really want to dabble in?
I really want to do dystopian fiction. I really want to do that.
Now, what type of fiction?
Dystopian. Divergent.
Okay. Right. Gotcha. Oh, cool. You and Joe D have something in common. He's really into that type of thing as well. He just hasn't put anything out in that field yet, but he has some ideas in that area as well. So that's
how
really
you,
cool.
How do you know? How do you know I ain't put anything out in that field yet? Maybe not under Joe D, but you just never know. I got some pen names for you.
Oh, really? Okay,
yeah.
Business partner, but yet you hide stuff? Okay. That's fine.
Before your time.
Long as the money goes into the same pot, dude.
Anyway.
You see
clever.
What I'm doing?
Give up-and-comers some advice. Like, what would you tell somebody who's trying to get to where you're at right now?
Same thing, man. Keep writing. You know, you got to keep putting the books out there and know your audience.
Okay.
You know, the main thing, one of the problems I ran into with Outlaw Chicks, and me and Cole Hart had talked about that. You know, I kind of I got in and really didn't look at the audience over there. It's a good book. I mean, my readers enjoyed it, and a few readers in that audience enjoyed the book as well. But I didn't write the book for that particular audience. You know what I'm saying? So it's important when you write the books, in my opinion, to know your audience. And just keep putting them out there, man. The more books you put out, you know, the bigger your fan base will grow. Because now you have a body of work coming behind. And if you got, you know, 3 or 4, 5 books, you know, readers, if they like one, they definitely going to go back and pick up the other ones. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And then they're going to talk about them. And then word will start spreading. You have a body of work versus, you know what I'm saying, when you're just starting out, to keep writing. That's the best advice I can give. Keep writing
and
know your audience.
No doubt. Ivy Simone, same question. What advice would you give?
I missed the question. I'm sorry.
The question is, what advice would you give an up-and-coming author that wants to get to where you're at?
I guess you gotta be determined to try to get to that point. Never lose sight of who you are. Stay true to your vision. If writing is about a passion for you, it's gonna come out. Everything else will fall into place, basically.
Okay. Awesome. All right. Well, we are going to go, and we will be right back, and we will be discussing, is it possible to be someone's secret little or dirty little secret and not catch feelings? So we will be right back.
For those of you on the line, hit the one.
And we are very proud to announce to you that Washed in His Blood, the very first novel to drop on our label, Joe Ken Publications, is up and running and is live in the Amazon store for you. He was a foster child, ruined by the system, betrayed by the very system that was supposed to protect him. And now he's back. And those who fail to protect him then will be the ones needing protection now. You can find Washed in His Blood at Amazon.com for purchase either in paperback or as a Kindle. Happy reading.
If I were a boy, even just for a day, I'd roll out of bed in the morning and throw on what I wanted and go. Drink beer with the guys and chase after girls. I kick it with who I wanted, and I never get confronted for it, 'cause they stick up for me. If I were
song, and I think it fits the title of the show for tonight.
Apparently you like it, because I was wondering if you were going to play the whole doggone song. I'm like, really?
I had to fight the temptation. I like that song because, especially for this topic, you know, talking about can you be someone's dirty secret and not catch feelings? And personally, I feel like if I were a boy, I could do that because it seems like it's mostly dudes who do crap like that.
Get out of here. It is not mostly dudes that do crap like
yes,
that.
Yes, it is.
Women, too.
It is mostly dudes.
Women, too.
Mostly dudes do that,
right.
Okay?
Okay?
So that's
Whatever. Why
I felt like that song was perfect, because if I were a boy, then I could do that. Listen to what she said in this song.
How many times have I seen a post similar to this topic, and women flood the post with, yeah, he always catch feelings when he gets some of this. I don't be catching feelings. He catch all the feelings. Come on. He's just a dude.
Whatever. Men do it more so than females. Men are the ones who can do
total
it without
BS.
Catching feelings. Whatever. Whatever. It's the truth. Men
Why don't you answer the question, though? The question is, can you be someone's secret without catching feelings? Could you
That's
do
what
it?
I just
don't
said.
Tell me if you were
a boy.
No, don't. I don't want to hear if you were a boy. You're not a boy. I want to know, could you do it?
I just answered that with my song. If I were a boy, then
whatever.
I could do it.
So your answer
Jeez.
Is no. So your answer is no, you couldn't. Ivy Simone, help this woman out.
I don't know about her, but I couldn't do it.
Why not? Elaborate.
I know me. And I get attached easily.
Okay.
So I couldn't do it. I couldn't.
And
what
it wasn't
you,
the
Clever?
Guy who made the song that said fuck 'em and leave 'em, wasn't that?
What?
I was just asking.
A radio show. Kitty, Clever, what say you?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's no strings attached. You know what I'm saying? That's no strings attached.
Exactly.
I mean, she can't complain about nothing. That's so that you got an old man. What is she talking about? I'm worried about what I'm doing. You got an old man.
Exactly. I agree. But it's not just a man thing. I don't think it's a gender thing. I just think I think it all depends on how long you're smashing. You know what I mean?
Like
you
smash
it for a couple of months. Yeah, you smash it for a couple of months.
Smash
6 months. Maybe up to a year. You know what I mean? You can be cool, especially if it's not like every day or something, like maybe like once a week or whatever. Yeah, but eventually, like I don't care who you are. If you're smashing consistently for a year, somebody going to catch some feelings.
Yeah.
Generally, both of y'all going to catch some feelings. You know? Like, I remember I had a conversation with a coworker of mine one time, and we were talking about this, and she was like, after a while, you know, they start holding you just a little bit longer, kissing you just a little bit longer, gazing in your eyes just a little bit longer, you know, okay, big girl, you catching feelings. Because just the act of sex alone, I mean, you know, it's intertwining of souls.
Yes, but men are the ones who talk about having fuck buddies.
Really?
Yes. And I go back to the song. You know I thug 'em, fuck 'em, love 'em, leave 'em, because I don't fucking need 'em.
Where is
I think it's,
body
I
mouth
think it's about
from?
Equal, though. We got just as many women do the same thing.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean,
exactly.
Look at Ivy Simone's book, Crush. The chick was banging her sister's best friend's guy. Come on.
That's
so y'all just as scandalous as we are.
That was fiction. That is
fiction.
I need help. That was
you don't see Maury. You don't see Maury.
You know, women got things.
That happens every day.
They ain't going to tell, man. Women got things that they would not discuss. And this is one of them. This is one of them.
I'll tell the truth. Because like I said, I like to think that I could do that and not catch feelings, but I know me. And if you know me, I am a Pisces. I mean, like, the epitome of a Pisces female. Now, when I get fed up with you, that's a different story. Then, hell yeah, I kick your ass to the curb and that's it. But...
That's the woman that's been married for like 20 years. I'm just saying.
And I'm just saying. You know, I'm just saying. But at any rate, like I was saying, I like to think that I could do that. But, you know, I like I said, when I get tired of you, I'm tired of you. And if the time is right, I'm going to kick you to the curb. But, you know, to just go out there and do something like that, I don't think that I could do that. I mean, like I said, I can walk well, you know what? Maybe I could. Okay. Sorry. Just having like little revelations.
So now you're worrying with now you're indecisive with yourself.
You don't talk yourself into it.
Yeah.
I know, right? Maybe I could. I don't know, you know?
I think maybe I could. I wholeheartedly think I could up to a point. Like, I don't know if I could go like 10 years. I'm just saying, I don't think I could go like 10 years, you know, smashing somebody and not catching any feelings. But definitely up to a year, of course. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, I like me.
You know.
So you can smash up to a year without catching feelings, Jody.
Yeah, back that thing on up for a year. Show me what that mouth do.
Hey, man.
Shonda, you hear this, Shonda?
I hear this. Hi.
Wait a minute, Shonda's on the line?
I am.
Yeah,
you miss me?
What say you, Shonda?
What are we talking about? Y'all know I just got off work. What are we talking about?
We're talking about the main topic is, could you be someone's secret smashing buddy without catching feelings?
Oh, yeah, I could be a fuck buddy all day, yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
I could do that. Yeah.
Are you sure about that, Shonda? You just talked.
No, I could. I could. I say that because I don't like people. So, I could. Uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, I say that.
Yeah.
So, there's time.
Okay.
Go
it's
ahead.
So different from you smashing your baby's father. And he got a girl, or, you know what I'm saying, y'all just hooking up. Y'all don't want to be together, but y'all both got issues, so y'all scratch them. I mean, it's the same thing.
Are you telling on yourself?
Yeah,
that was a very specific example.
That was pretty, you know, straightforward. So is that what you're doing, Shonda?
You know what?
Lord, please forgive her.
Shonda pleads the fifth, okay?
I do. I'm pleading the fifth because you never know who listening. So, I mean, it's fun. You don't, for the times of your life, you don't want attachment. It's fun. You ain't got to worry about nobody calling your phone. You ain't got to worry about nobody asking you your whereabouts. It gets old. If you're not married and you just want to chill with somebody, why not?
But, okay, let me ask you this. How long could you do it, though?
Man. No shit. I've done it before I had my son. This is before I had my son, so don't be telling me I'm a bad mom. But I did it for like 4 years.
Wow, 4 years.
I did it for like because I looked at it like we were young. I was engaged at an early age. I got engaged when I was 19. So like after I broke off my engagement, it was like I was 20. I was 21. I had just turned 21. I broke off my engagement like 3 months after my 21st birthday. So it was like I'm missing out on life. Like all new doors had opened up for me. I was like, I was old enough to get in the club. I was trying to, he was older than I was. So the stuff that he did already, I had to experience that. And like, we just grew apart because I wanted to kick it and have fun. I didn't want that. So I did what I did. I was only having sex with one person, but it was what it was. And I don't regret it. We still talk today. We don't smash no more, but we still talk today. We're friends.
Yeah, sure you don't.
I mean, now, when I go back home, it is what it is. Y'all know I'm in Dallas by myself. But when I go back to Arkansas, it just is what it is.
Now, we have Marina on the line, and Marina wants to say that she actually agrees with Jody. I don't know if I want to put her on, saying that she says she agrees with
yes,
Jody.
Come on, Ms.
Marina, you there? Wait, I thought I had it wrong. Marina. Okay, I tell you. Come on, Blog Talk, work with me.
How come you always have technical difficulties with somebody who agrees with me?
I want to agree with Jody. What do you say? Jody, what you say?
I say up to about a year I could do it without catching feelings.
All right, Marina, you there? Dog, it keeps putting her on mute. I get her off and it keeps flicking. It keeps
take
flicking
her
over to mute.
I think that's a situation you have to go in without no expectations, though. You can't expect nothing to come out of that. You know?
But
okay,
you know,
Marina's
who
on
though?
Now.
Who am I speaking to? Wait, and is this Clever?
Yes, that's Clever.
Hi, I'm such a big fan of yours.
Oh, thanks. Thank you. Appreciate it. Appreciate the opportunity.
Oh, my God. I have so many of your books. I actually bought them. No Kindle Unlimited. I bought them.
Okay. You got to check them out. Check them out. They heavy.
They are. I did that. Before I even wrote my first book, I had tons of yours already. I'm a big fan. Hi.
Okay. How you doing?
I'll be on my best behavior tonight, if y'all haven't noticed.
Nah.
They'll
but
be
toned down from last time, so, you know. She kind of toned down from last time. She come through this. She kicked the doors off the hinges last time.
Oh, my goodness. See, I got this tone all the way there. Y'all tripping. Nope, not no more.
Kenicha, did you ever get Marina back on?
She done knocked herself off, too, Joe.
Apparently.
Y'all know what, though? I'm going to say this. A lot of females can't be marriage partners. Like, it can't.